I'd like to call this meeting to order. Would you please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I will now take roll call. Mr. Burbank?
I'm here.
Ms. Chalk?
I am here.
Mr. Dennis?
Here.
Ms. Herrera?
Here.
Ms. Kiefer?
Present.
Mr. Lane?
Here.
Ms. McAsee?
Present.
Mrs. McBean Claiborne?
Present.
Mr. McKenna?
Here.
Mr. Proto?
Here.
Ms. Pryor?
Here.
Ms. Robertson?
Here.
Mr. Robison?
Here.
Mr. Shinagawa?
Present.
Mr. Stein?
Present.
With 15 members present, I'd like to introduce Aurora Valenti, the county clerk, who will now administer the oath of office to all legislators.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen.
Good evening.
I'd like you to all rise for 15. You know, they say legislators, some are new, some are old, some are silver, some are gold. You'll raise your hand and repeat after me. When the first is I. You'll say your own name, all right? I do solemnly swear or affirm, if you don't swear, that I shall support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of New York, and I shall faithfully discharge my duties as a legislator in and for the County of Tompkins to the best of my ability. Congratulations. Good luck.
You'll see on your red yellow cards, sign them and leave them in your red folders. Okay, our first order of business this evening is the election of temporary chair. And I will now open the floor for nominations. Mr. Dennis?
Thank you, Ms. Covert, and welcome to the 2010 edition of the Tompkins County Legislature. And I would like to take this opportunity to nominate as temporary chair one Frank Proto. I believe he's been nominated 10, 15, 20 times for this job, and I hope that he gets it right this time. So I want to place the nomination in the name of Frank Proto as temporary chair with great pleasure.
Is there a second to that motion? Ms. McAsee? Are there any other nominations? May I have a motion to close nominations, please?
So moved.
Moved by Ms. Robertson, seconded by Mrs. McBean Claiborne. All those in favor with closing
aye.
Nominations, signify with aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, we will now vote on the election of temporary chair to elect Mr. Proto as temporary chair. Please signify with aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried. Mr. Proto, please come up to the podium.
Hey.
Good evening, and welcome to all the new legislators, the five new legislators. Please take note, that may be one of the very few times you'll see a unanimous vote, often bipartisan, on this board. But congratulations to Peter, to Pat, to Dave, to Brian. Oh, Mike, you've been here before.
Sorry about that. We're here this evening to nominate. My duty is to nominate a chair, but usually I use this opportunity first to try to adjourn the meeting and retain this podium. If anyone wants to make that motion, I'd be happy to entertain it. Okay. But I'd like to take a few minutes to bestow. Jim Dennis used to do this, but he's fallen down the last couple of years. So what I'd like to do is, you know, after welcoming the new legislators, is to tell you what this is my 26th year on the board, the beginning of my 26th year on the board. And some of the things that I found as legislators turn over, the five of you will be taking different desks and everything, but it's amazing what you find in people's desks. It really is. And I took the time to go through some of this and wanted to take a minute, if you'll bear with me. This is an opportunity to bestow on you the Christmas gifts and the holiday gifts that you may not have gotten. But as legislators, it's a chance to have a little laugh at ourselves, too. So bear with me, but those of you that know Dooley Kiefer know that she is a passionate editor. So Dooley's gift for the upcoming year is a special box of editing crayons, because these will provide an opportunity. The minutes are so large that these will last at least a year. By the way, some of these gifts will be on your mailboxes outside because some of them are too large to put anywhere. For Pam, you know, Pam has led us through the trash wars about redoing the roads. Now, I was given a set of maps for Pam that are all the best trash routes in upstate New York. So I want to make sure that you do get that. Mike Lane, I know Mike is new to the group, but Mike Hattery asked me to give you a complete set of all the resolutions he wouldn't support because they have nothing to do with the county.
I'll need a hand truck.
And Carol, I tease Carol a lot, but Carol has been a stalwart in trying to help us through the tourism stuff. So, Carol, I have two tickets for you. To examine how tourism is done in Paris. And I'll have them for you. That's Paris, Kentucky, Paris, Georgia. But nonetheless, it is Paris. They're yours. Nathan has been very helpful, as you remember. He's got a promotion recently at Guthrie. It sticks in my throat a little bit, but nonetheless, Guthrie. And he's really moving up as far as responsibility is there. Nathan, I couldn't carry these, but I have a set of the Senate and the House's bill on health care. You have to read them and at least give us a report sometime before they have to vote on it. Dave McKenna, who's brand new to the board as well. Dave, Greg Stevenson, in his old desk, left you a list of all the best excuses on how to leave a meeting. Because Greg was infamous about how, between the union and between the fire department, about how to get out. Jim Dennis was tough. He really was. Last year, Jim received an award for a life subscription to all kinds of cards, because Jim is an inveterate card sender. This year, Jim is getting a set of instructions on how to wrangle money, fundraising dollars, out of his fellow legislators. Because he's had a rough time in the past trying to get contributions, and I want to make sure that he's got that to review. Brian, I'm glad Tyke is here. Those of us that know Tyke know that he's a firm believer in the OSHA rules, and he experienced a couple of he just had a couple of experiences over the last couple of years that entitled him to expand on those. Those OSHA rules are going to be given to Brian. It's pre-training on how to do security checks following the OSHA rules, because Brian is involved with the security checks over at City Hall. Leslin was another tough one. She's involved in so many things. Christmas gift for Leslin is always hard. But, you know, she's gone through a lot of concern about the GIAC renovations, and she was telling me earlier that they're winding down. So I have a gift subscription to 48 different yoga sessions for you, Leslin.
Because you don't know how much I need.
And a big screen TV?
No. Pat Pryor. Pat is another new legislator, and I know how closely you followed Mike Sigler's career. Mike left you all of his notes on the Republican priorities, particularly his meetings with President Obama, because he's such a supporter. So I'll have those for you afterwards. Will, yours was easy. You get Judy Pastel's notes on how to put together a city school district budget. So, because I know you're intimately involved in that. Kathy Herrera. Kathy was another tough one, but I wanted to. Kathy is, as you know, an electrician up at Cornell. Kathy's going to get the landlord's guide to handyman improvements.
I'm sure it'll help.
And I want to read you the quote that comes with this. And Kathy has been known to say, if you can't fix it with a hammer, you've got an electrical problem. For Peter Stein, Peter's was a little tricky, but I know how close you followed Michael Kaplinka-Lair's career, and I think Michael's notes on how I swam the lake and organized the rowing team would be helpful during the upcoming term, because Mike helped us form a rowing team when we competed against the city.
I can't wait.
Yes. I can't leave out Martha. My favorite. Martha, as you know, had a little run-in recently. And I wanted this is how to install taillights. Martha and I have had a conversation about this. She's promised me it will never happen again.
Absolutely, that's right.
Especially after somebody reminded you about it. Can't forget staff. Come on, give me a break. Kathy Covert. Kathy, Joe made a mistake when he did the budget. I know how closely you were following that. Joe wanted to make sure you got his blank check for however much you need. For Jonathan, where's Jonathan? Usually Jonathan sits. Oh, there he is. I sit across from Jonathan, and I watch this a lot. But the book that I wanted to leave for Jonathan is The Proper Use of a Microphone. Because often it's hard to follow Jonathan. Joe gets Governor Patterson's notes on how to balance a budget. And David gets Governor Patterson's notes on how to find money, which has been uphill. I want to take a shot at myself as well. And Peter, this means I have to take a little bit of an indirect shot at you, but it's polite. But I wanted to thank you on behalf. Your wife sent me this book. And I really wanted to thank her. Is Irene here?
Is it signed?
Irene, you need, You need to sign it, Irene. Seriously, one of the things that we really need to do, I saw Jim Blizzard lurking about, and I know how concerned we all were about his surgery and everything, but it's sure nice to see him back. The other staff members escaped. We'll save the gifts for another time. Right. Okay. Did we have enough? Is it time to adjourn? Did anyone, before I open, go on to the formal part of the meeting, I want to ask a question of you. Does anyone have a need for an adjournment or a recess for any reason? Now is the time to do it. The veteran board members from last year will remember that one. Okay. Okay. I want to open the nominations for chairman of the board. And as I do that, I've been asked by a couple of people to make this offer, and we'll see if you folks are interested in doing it or not. We can do the voting by a show of hands. We can do it by secret ballot. If we do it by secret ballot, Kathy has to quickly make up some ballots. But the item that I'd like to ask you about, depending on how many nominees we have, would it be appropriate to ask them to say a few words as they're nominated or when the nominations are opened, just so that we know something about what they plan to do? Is that kosher? I don't know why it wouldn't be, but is that something you'd like to hear? Will is nodding yes. Nathan is nodding yes. Okay. I'll say that a little more formally after we know how many. If we have 10 nominees, we're probably not going to do that. But I'd like to open the floor for nominations for chairperson of the Board of of the County Legislature. See, hold on. Yeah. Nathan Shinagawa.
So I can do my speech after I nominate?
Go for it.
All right, great. All right, I would like to nominate Martha Robertson for the position of chair of the Tompkins County Legislature. I've known Martha now for the past 4 years, and I found her to be a very dependable leader, somebody who's articulate, who advises you, and oftentimes, you know, goes the extra mile to teach you and inform you of an issue so that you choose and make the right decisions. She's also incredibly energetic and productive. I mean, I'm 26 years old, and I don't think I could, like, I think Martha sleeps less than me, but still, you know, produces, you know, twice the amount of work. You know, you see her writing emails at 3 in the morning and then writing an email at 7 in the morning, and the quality never lapses. So she's always there. But I think the greatest reason the reason why I'm supporting Martha for this position is that I think she's somebody that is incredibly focused on an issue and very devoted to issues. And so when there is an issue, whether it has been over the past 4 years, you know, 4 years that I've been on the legislature, or even longer when she's been on the legislature, whether it's been affordable housing or doing work on the Industrial Development Agency, whether it was Tompkins RX, which has saved, by the way, saved Tompkins County residents over $1 million on their prescription drugs at no cost to the county, or whether or not it's been grass drilling or alternatives to incarceration. I think it's clear that Martha takes an issue and she follows it through to completion. And I think that with the tough times that are ahead of us in the legislature, we need a leader like that. And therefore, I'm enthusiastic about my support for Martha Robertson as chair of the Tompkins County Legislature. Thank you.
Is there a second? Carol? Carol,
yes,
Jeff?
I have a little speech to make as well. I am pleased to second the nomination of Martha Robertson as chair of the legislature. In 2 years, I have been on two committees chaired by Martha, and I was incredibly impressed with the significant amount of work that we accomplished on each one. Martha put in the effort to think through, in each case, how to set the agenda, determine what specific tasks could be accomplished in that year, set a process to include solicitation of ideas from all players on the issues that we are going to be addressing, and to consistently provide follow-up at each stage. And that's where it can be incredibly difficult to to match up. Martha's work on the comprehensive plan regarding the homeless, as the assigned council study, which was could have been quite controversial, and instead was an incredibly productive process, and with NYSEC, New York State Association of Counties, on our behalf, among other issues that she has worked on and organizations, has really been exemplary. After the public hearing on gas drilling, TCOG and the county people involved in that had talked about how to influence the state about gas drilling and what we heard from our constituents. We talked. Martha went out in a few weeks and set up meetings with the DEC, the, some of the chairs of the committees of the New York State Legislature, and somebody in the governor's office. In addition to the capable work that she does here on our behalf, Tompkins County will be electing a chair who is fresh back just yesterday from equal billing on the gas drilling issue with, I may get this wrong, three congressmen, two state senators, two or three state assembly people, New York City council members. The sponsors of that press conference invited her because she ensures that news about the great work that we all do here in Tompkins County reaches across the state. So I hope that you'll all join me in voting for Martha. Thank you.
Okay, there's a move and second for Martha Robertson. Are there any other nominations? Kathy Herrera.
Thank you, Mr. Temporary Chair. At this time, it's an honor for me to nominate someone for chair of the Tompkins County Legislature who is eminently qualified, having demonstrated administrative and delegation skills as she earned the respect and trust of employees, staff, and the public while serving as vice chair of the Tompkins County Legislature in 2009, 2008, 2007, and in 2006. She has served in county government with distinction, capably resolving internal and external county issues with little fuss or fanfare, offering guidance where needed and support when necessary. Recognizing our stated community values of diversity and inclusion, this nominee has shown leadership in her chairmanship of the Workforce Diversity and Inclusion Committee, and through this committee's efforts, the county has broadened and continues to improve its efforts at recruitment, hiring, and retention of underrepresented groups. Moreover, this nominee is inclusive and supportive in her legislative actions, reaching out beyond traditional boundaries of party, race, and class. As chair of the Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, she has encouraged collaboration, innovation, and award-winning environmental programs while supporting our talented managers in stellar job performance. She chaired the Public Safety Committee in years past and earned the trust of and engendered the cooperation of the entire Public Safety Committee community. Her excellent interpersonal and mediation skills may be exceeded only by her compassion and generosity of spirit. Her professional capabilities pale only in comparison to her passion and energy. A community leader in her own right, our election of Leslyn McBean Claiborne to the chairmanship of the county legislature will support and inspire staff of county government, even as it demonstrates this body's recognition of proven county leadership, consistently using impeccable professional qualifications, conflict resolution skills, diversity and inclusion, collaboration, environmentalism, and best practices in human resource and performance management. Accordingly, it is my honor and privilege to nominate Leslyn McBean Claiborne as chair of the 2010 Tompkins County Legislature.
Thank you. Is there a second? Second?
Yes, Mr. Chair. I would like to second that nomination, and I have no long speeches to give.
Okay, thank you. Are there any other nominations from the floor? Okay, we have two nominees, Leslyn McBean Claiborne and Martha Robertson. Would you like to have them say something before?
Just move that the nominations be formally closed?
Sure. Are you doing that?
Yes.
Okay, there's a, and it's seconded by Pam. All those in favor of closing the nominations? Okay, it's unanimous. Thank you. Would you like to have the candidates make any sort of a statement? Don't all speak at once. Is there any objection to anyone having the candidates make any sort of a statement? Jim?
I'm not objecting. What I am saying, it's not necessary for me to hear these two people. I've been with them at least for 4 years and have listened closely to them as committee chairs and others, and would want to proceed with the vote without formally hearing from either one of them if people want to do that.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay. Then, Carol?
I wouldn't mind hearing something that if the candidates were so inclined and had things prepared, I certainly wouldn't have any.
No, they didn't know I was going to do this. whomever the candidates would have been didn't know I was going to do that. Sorry. Pam?
Well, I think that if they didn't come prepared for this, and I don't feel that we should impose this on them if that is, the situation. I would say, with what Carol said, is that only if they feel that they would like to do this, then I think that we should do it. Otherwise, I think we should just move forward.
Would you like to say something?
I will just break the tension in the room and say I'd be more than happy to say something. I don't know if there was a direct question, Frank, or if it's just a matter of speaking. From what I know, in past experience of chair and vice chair as a body, that for the last 8 years that I have been on this body has had a Democratic majority, we've always had the opportunity to hear as Democrats from the candidates who are interested in putting their hats in the ring for chair and vice chair, and sometimes all those don't have that opportunity. I'm sorry, you're saying something to me? I wasn't sure if you were saying something. I don't mind just saying quickly what my thoughts. Actually, Kathy, I do want to say thank you for the nomination. I started to think for a minute, who are you talking about? Often when you do work, especially public service work, you don't sit back to think of all you've accomplished necessarily. And then when someone starts to point it out, then you started, oh yeah, oh really, wow, how did you do that? I'm a very busy person, Frank, you're right in saying, there's so much that I do, but I take pride in being a legislator and doing it to the best of my ability within the time frame that I have and I'm able to do it. In this coming year, some of the things that I see, not just in this year but in previous year, that should matter to this county, especially around our issues of budget. We have tried several times in the past to do different ways of dealing with our budget. We know that with the economic crisis that it is, and with what's going on with the state and the governor's budget, it's very important for us to take an early forecast and assessment of how it's going to affect us and what are we going to do about it, and not wait until we're in the height of our budget process to try to deal with that and the priorities. I think that's an issue that's looming large and high over our heads, and we need to do that. So regardless of who is in the leadership position as chair of this legislature, I believe that that's a position or a place that we need to put a lot of focus. Just in thinking through some of what I need to do this year, that's one of the things. I have been thinking long and hard about our negotiations process and what needs to happen around there. Some of the things that we need to be concerned about, how to get our employees as a bigger team with all of us knowing what we face and how we can wade through those waters together and get to a place where our employees are having employee satisfaction both in wages and benefits, and we as legislators are not killing our taxpayers trying to satisfy those needs. I have also been thinking of the continued work that we need to do on diversity and inclusion. We've started, we have a long way to go, but we certainly are at the forefront in doing so much in that area, and it's an area that I'm very passionate about. Almost every legislator here has something that rocks their boat, they're just passionate about. That's an area that I am particularly passionate about because I know that it's just good business. We represent this county, and this county is pretty multicultural, and that's one of the things that I have thought long and hard about. In terms of just leadership, off my cuff, I enjoyed being chair of committees. I've chaired and been vice chair of several committees over the years that I've been here. I came into this legislature early, replacing Suzanne Davis, who had to leave before her term was up. And it's been quite an experience, especially serving with different people along the way. One of the things that I appreciate is the talent that we have in our staff. I clearly don't know a whole lot about bitumen and tar and what sort of ice or salt one is supposed to use. And so I trust the people who we have employed to make those decisions about what to use, and for us as legislators to make those policy decisions about how much we are going to spend and where the priorities are and what changes need to happen, but doing it in concert with our department heads and with our very talented, experienced, and excellent county administrator and the county administrator staff. Those are just off my cuff some of the things that I think about that I expect to see in a leader of this legislature. It is no secret that over the last year, if not two or more, we have been pretty fractured as a body, as Democrats and just as colleagues in general. There have been issues of trust, there have been issues of openness, there have been issues of what people consider to be deceitfulness, all kinds of things that have marred our great reputation that we had, that people longed, other elected bodies wanted to be like the Tompkins County Legislature. And so it's no secret that that has been the case. And I'm looking for leadership that will help to repair that trust, that will help to bring back to this body the sort of reputation we had amongst our staff, the community, and the other elected officials in our county who aspire to be like us. That is an issue that continues to loom over our heads, so much so that some of us will not participate in some processes until we feel like we've had a chance to hash out some of these issues, deal with them head on, and clear the air. So my expectation is that, again, regardless of who's in that seat, that we will take the time to rebuild a kind of camaraderie. You know, we don't all have to agree and vote the same way. We never will. We're 15 very distinct and unique people representing 15 different districts. Although our overall idea and our overall body here is to represent the needs of our county and what's in its best interest, we are all not going to necessarily agree every time. But we need to have the kind of relationship that we can be honest and open and talk with each other, agree to disagree in a manner that's not disagreeable, and move on with the business of Tompkins County. Those are just some of the thoughts I had for those who have not had the opportunity to, or I have right now, to hear from candidates. And Frank, I actually appreciate you bringing it up. I thought it was a little weird, but I appreciate the thought, because it does not just to those people sitting here, but to the folks who are watching us on TV who care about what the leadership of this legislature would look like. I think that that's really important, and I appreciate you making that gesture. Thank you all.
And thank you.
Sorry if I rambled. You kind of threw me for a loop.
Martha?
Well, thank you. I would agree with many of the things that, Leslin has said. I'm surprised by this. I have reached out to everybody on this legislature to speak individually, and I've spoken with most everybody individually in the last couple of weeks about leadership and about my vision of leadership and how we might work together. I think I've been nominated, so I'll talk less. So that so it's actually sort of a opportunity that maybe I would have less of as, you know, if I'm voted into this office. But I will. So I especially agree with the notion that we need to pull this group together as a team and work on the very critical issues that we have in front of us. The phrase disagree without being disagreeable has been on my mind a lot, and I think we need to really do that. The people are depending upon us to give them our very best. As far as issues, and Nathan and Carol, I very much appreciate the words that you've offered tonight. I see the role of chair as having a very different relationship to specific causes that I might personally feel are important. And the role of chair is to bring together everybody's best thinking about what are the important issues for Tompkins County. And not just express, you know, my own personal views, but to be sure that we have some common thinking and where that's appropriate to be an advocate for those issues, but very much to have all of you inform the stance that we take as a county. So appreciate that those thoughts, and that I understand that the role of an individual legislator is different from the role of chair. So with that, again, I want to thank you, Frank, because I think the time to have some poke fun at each other and to have some jokes is very important. And if we can't laugh at ourselves, then, you know, we're in trouble. So I appreciate that.
Okay. Well, I wanted to... Thanks, Martha. If I caught you, the two of you, off guard... maybe that's good, because sometimes speaking from the heart is better than speaking from the head. And there are five new legislators here. We all know each other in different roles in the county and throughout the community, but I think it's a good idea to have at least give you a chance to say a few words. And if you need that book, I have
it.
So, okay, the nominations are closed. I think we'll proceed to a vote. If you don't have any objection, I'd just like to do it by a show of hands. Is that okay with the majority? Okay. However, I have been instructed forcefully to make sure that you leave your hands up until the count is done. Okay? okay, we have two nominations, Martha Robertson and Leslie McBean Claiborne. All those in favor of Martha Robertson for chairperson of this legislature, please signify by raising your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. Oh, let's do that again. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All those in favor of Leslie McBean Claiborne, please raise your hand. Oh, there's a third in the back. So.
As the next president of the United States. Given all of this, we're going straight for the president.
It's okay, JR. You can bring her anytime. Okay. The vote is 13 to 2. Thank you both for having the guts to stand for chairperson of this board. But the election, shall we just announce it? Martha Robertson has been elected chairperson of this board for 2010. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
You now have to preside.
Or Jonathan, come on here.
Whichever. Frank says I can't use the mic properly.
Thank you all very much. Thank you, Leslyn and Kathy, for making this a contest to bring out some of our all of our feelings and make sure this is an inclusive process. So the next order of business is the election of a vice chair. Are there any nominations? Pam?
Yes, I'd like to nominate Dooley Kiefer as vice chair of the legislature. Dooley has worked very hard and long on the legislature. She is amazingly knowledgeable about how our government functions. She knows just tremendous details about the history and about the structure of our government. She's a real advocate of good government practices, and she is a person of tremendous integrity. And I think that she will serve us well. In that capacity, I think that she is somebody who has no problem speaking her mind when she has an opinion. And I think that is a useful characteristic to have in a vice chair, to hear another voice in her discussions with the chair. So I think Dooley will serve us well, and I'm very happy to nominate her as vice chair.
Thank you, Pam. Is there a second? Jim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I feel an obligation to at least try to make one comment about Dooley, and I'm really happy to to second her nomination for vice chair. Pam took many of the things. She's clearly the best record keeper I've ever seen. Rivals almost the clerk of the legislature and her team. And every meeting that she attends, that I've been there, there's an ample record of what has happened there, and rarely an error is made. And I'm hoping at the end of this that maybe she and I can talk and about what I'm saying, so that I know where the pauses are and things like that. But the other point I wanted to make about Dooley, in sort of a joking way, is that I have a couple of friends who watch these meetings. And they said to me, how come I don't get a green light? And I said, well, you have to be here a while to get a green light. And they said, you should get a green light because it makes you look smarter. And I need all the help I can get. But I don't think I'm going to get a green light. But at any rate, I think Dooley will be a great vice chair. She'll be able, very open, very easy to talk to, will work well with the chair, and has an excellent reputation among the department heads and people in the government.
Thank you, Jim. Are there any other nominations? Mm-hmm. Dave.
Yes, I'd like to nominate Mr. Frank Proto as vice chair, based on, first of all, his many years of experience with the board, his experience with all the people that are associated with the county, and his association with state and federal government people. I think in a spirit of bipartisanship, we can move forward and pool our resources, and I think it would be to our advantage. So I'd like to nominate Mr. Proto.
Thank you. Is there a second? Leslin, I second Frank's nomination. Any comments? Okay. Are there any other nominations? Can I have a motion to close nominations? Will, is there a second? Pat, okay. All in favor of closing nominations for Vice Chair of the Legislature? Any opposed? That's unanimous. Okay, then I think we can go. I think we'll go right to the vote. I don't know that I want to put anybody else in this spot of having to think of something, unless you really want to say something. Okay.
Oh, please.
All right.
Frank, you're invited if you want. Would Frank and Julie like to say anything?
If you'd like to. I think we probably both said enough.
Okay. All those in favor of Dooley Kiefer for Vice Chair of the Legislature, please raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. All those for Frank Proto, raise your hand. 1, 2, 3, 4. Kathy, are you voting? I didn't see your hand.
I didn't raise it.
Okay, so 10 to 4. That would be the decision of the board. And I would like to announce that Dooley Kiefer is elected Vice Chair of the Tompkins County Legislature for 2010. And congratulations, Dooley. All right. Thank you all very much. So let's begin. Presentation of proclamations, petitions, communications, and notices. Thank you. We don't have any special orders of the day, but now is time for privilege of the floor from the public, and we don't have anybody signed up. Okay. And if there's anybody who's interested in speaking to us, to the public, just step to the mic and introduce yourself. And now's your time. Anybody interested? Okay, thank you. Privilege of the floor for legislators. Julie.
I was at a meeting last night. When I got home, I turned on PBS because they had listed a three-night special, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday this week from 9 to 11. This Emotional Life is what they've called this series. And when I got home last night and turned it on, it was an excellent presentation dealing with bullying in schools. And I wish I could have seen the whole thing. Tonight what's going on is negative emotions, fear, anger, despair. And I plan to watch that when I get home. And Wednesday night, it will deal with happiness. And it seems to me, based on comments I heard a little earlier in this meeting, that maybe we all should watch this series.
Thank you, Julie. One second, Pat. I realize that before Privilege of the Floor for Legislators, generally we have, if there are any municipal officials in the audience, and JR, I know your hands are full, but if you'd be interested in making a report from the from City Council, we'd be delighted to have anything you wanted to fill us in on.
I didn't come here for that.
Okay. All right. Well, just I didn't want to miss.
The city's
well. Good. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. And come back another time when you would be prepared to bring us an update. Thanks to you.
But
yeah, thanks.
Madam Chair, how about his companion? Perhaps she would like to say something.
Oh, please don't give her a microphone.
We would love that.
Participate in the vote.
Yell and not getting out of here tonight.
All right, and Dear, any time. Okay. All right, then let's go to Pat. Thank you.
I'd just like to say that it's an honor and a privilege to serve on this body, and I feel very grateful to be here tonight. I'd especially like to acknowledge the constituents from Lansing who braved our weather and the snow that we have out there to come down tonight to watch the swearing-in. Say thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Leslie?
I have a couple of announcements to make. It's January, and it's a celebration holiday of Martin Luther King Jr.'s birthday, and I don't remember where I put my stuff. Anyhow, on Saturday the 16th, next Saturday, is the annual Martin Luther King Jr. Community Breakfast that is hosted by the Great Activity Center, or GAC, my employer. It is the largest special event that we have in this particular year. We are happy, given all that's been going on, the United Against Hate campaign, so many of the things that may happen in our community. We're looking forward to a larger than usual turnout and invite all of you to please join us for the breakfast. It's at the Beverly J. Martin Elementary School at the corner of West Buffalo and North Albany Street. Begins at 9 a.m. Breakfast is served from 9 to 10:30 for those of you who are also watching. And it is very minimal cost and in true GX style. If you don't have money, we don't turn you away. We'd rather you be there and be inspired. The guest speaker this year is a young man from New Jersey who is a PhD candidate at Union Theological Seminary, I think is what it's called, has been doing a lot of work with the Poverty Initiative as a scholar, and part of their focus this year is rejoining or reinvigorating the Poor People's Campaign of Martin Luther King Jr. So we expect to have a very dynamic speaker, and as usual, the Peacemaker Awards will be given out by the Community Dispute Resolution Center. This year they have a new award. They're giving out a new Youth Peacemaker Award. It's always been adults, so they're adding a youth component this year, as well as our own division, Human Rights Commission's contest winners for their art and poetry contest will be announced at that meeting, and the children who participate, the winners, get to read their poetry at that event. Then the Monday following the 18th is the holiday, the Martin Luther King Day. It's a day on. The MLK Community Build Committee will be hosting its annual day on discussion, workshop, as well as a luncheon with guest speaker and so on. The workshop will be held at a women's community building. That also begins at 9 a.m. There'll be two sessions being held. The Martin Luther King Junior Freedom Walkway Committee, which is a committee of the City of Ithaca that I chair, that committee will be meeting on that day as well as part of the community celebration, the day-on celebration, seeking public input as we try to develop freedom walkways in the City of Ithaca. We are focusing on two right now, a loop in the south side, a loop in the north side, and so we invite all of you to come and share your input on who we should recognize on the walkway as people take that historic tour. So those are two things I wanted to announce very quickly that are happening in our community in celebration of Martin Luther King Jr. and his legacy. Thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. So Nathan and then Frank.
I would like to, at this time I would like to thank Leslie McBean Claiborne for her service as vice chair, as Kathy said, from the years 2006, 2007, 2008, and 2009, and I would like us all to give a round of applause.
Frank.
I want to ask Leslie. I have an announcement myself. Before you leave,
I think she's trying to catch her family.
You're trying to catch your family.
Yeah.
Leslie, do you know if the anything that GAC is doing is going to be buddied up with what's going on at Ithaca College?
Because they're planning, I believe, a week-long celebration up there, too.
Right. No, at this point, no. However, we as an organization, do participate in the events by bringing participants that are happening at Isabel College. So, no.
Okay.
Anybody else before I run ahead?
Okay, I do have an announcement, though.
Okay.
I wanted to just draw your attention to a news report. Remember the young man that we gave the Distinguished Youth Award to a couple of months back, Alex Wicker? In case you missed it, he just received an appointment from Congressman Hinchey, which is very nice, to the Naval Academy. And just one more item on that list of very impressive plaudits that he had. And I just thought it might be appropriate to give him a pat on the back publicly from this group, since we all support him in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you, Frank. Pam, and then Mike.
Oh, I think Mike was ahead of me.
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to let you know, for the new people who are coming on, we have established this fund. It's a combination of Cornell, the city, and the county, where we are each contributing annually to a fund to try and help build some affordable housing in the county and in the city. I mean, it's for the whole area. And last fall, we put out a NOFA, a Notice of Funding Availability, and basically laying out the criteria that we wanted, needed for people to apply. And so then people applied, and I just wanted to let folks know that the application deadline was the end of the year, at December 31st, and we had 6 applications, which is very exciting because we had no idea if anybody would apply for this money. It's really pre-development money right now that we are offering, but it was very exciting to for those of us who are on that committee to find out that there were 6 applicants.
That's great. Thank you, Pam. A lot of hard work going into that. Mike, and then Will.
Sitting here, I have this strange feeling of deja vu. Very happy to be back. Very thankful to the voters of the 14th District, which includes the 2 villages, Dryden and Freeville, and the surrounding areas, for the confidence they've showed to me again to ask me to come back to serve with this wonderful group. I want to say thanks to Mike Hattery, who has spent the last 4 years representing the district. Anybody who puts themselves forward to serve as a county legislator deserves the thanks of the entire community, and I want to say thanks to Mike for that. I brought someone here who I brought to each organizational meeting. This is the 4th time that I've been said the oath of office, and it's my mom, Viola Lane, and she's in the audience. And I'm going to ask her to stand up. My mother is now 92 years young, and she is my best supporter and a firm friend, as well as a relative, obviously. She has a wonderful working past where she was one of the first women who worked at the Curtis Wright Airplane Factory in Buffalo during World War II, and led the actually was out there in sort of the Rosie the Riveter kind of job, and met with discrimination and other things that women had to deal with. She worked her career at the Smith Groner factory in Cortland, where she was very active in the labor movement. In fact, at one point she was unlawfully discharged for quote unquote activities, union activities. She fought that and was returned to her employment. I'm very proud of this kind of person she is, and I'm glad that she's here tonight and is a supporter. This group is a very, very special group, and we have the confidence of the voters who have brought us here today. And it's those of you who didn't face opponents during the election, you were still elected by the voters. And I know you will think about them, not only the people from your own party, but people from no party at all, from people who are not voters at all, people who vote, people who have different opinions than we particularly have. We have to come together as a team. Last year was a troublesome year for this legislature, and starting off better again this year. But we have to work together. We have to show each other courtesy and congeniality. And we have to work together for the people's business. I'm very anxious to be a part of that, to get to work, to take up some of the difficult things. I know that this year is going to be a very, very hard budget year. The word coming out of Albany just gets worse. And I expect that our delegation to the NYSAC conference this year will come back with information that will not please and delight us. But we'll make it. We'll get through because we are a wonderful county. We have wonderful people. And this is a legislature worthy of the task that's put in front of it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mike. Will.
Thank you, Martha. And I want to second many of those sentiments, Mike. I really hope this is a good year, and it's great to see you back. It's great to have all the new folks and the different perspectives you'll be bringing, and I truly hope we can move forward together because we need everybody. I wanted to put in a plug for something that that Kathy mentioned at our last meeting. That is Light in Winter. It's coming up in later this month, on January 21st to 24th. It is an incredible series of lectures, performances, exhibitions. It happens over 4 days. You can sign up for a particular event or go for the whole thing. Past several years, I've had the pleasure of volunteering and seen a number of the different things. It is absolutely just an amazing way and a good excuse to get out of your house and brave the cold, because there are wonderful things happening. This year, just a couple of the highlights. There's going to be a concert by the Klezmatics. There will be exhibitions on juggling, and there will be a beer for local boars and for the love of chocolate. So what more could one want? That's Light in Winter, and if you just Google those words, you'll quickly get to the site where you can get the details. Thank you.
Thank you. Pleasant. Sorry, Martha. Mike, I wanted to have the opportunity, so I was running behind my family, to acknowledge JR and Kelsey and Indira, who without them, and for me it's important to say this publicly, I would not be able to do what I do on this legislature. I don't know how many people, if anybody in this legislature, has a young family like I do. Kelsey is 15, if you know anything about teenage boys, and Indira is 3, if you know anything about 3-year-old toddlers who think they're 23. So I do want to really thank them. JR is also on city council. So our household is very political, but also very busy, but we take the business of serving the public seriously. So I wanted to thank them, but they're not in the room. They're out in the hallway. For just continuing to be just such huge supporters of my work and allowing me to be able to do this, to serve the people of Tompkins County and to serve with all of you. In that vein, I also wanted to say thanks to our new members who are here for throwing your hat in the ring, running for office, and joining us. I look forward to working with each and every one of you in this coming year and the next 4 years on this body. So thank you.
Thank you, Leslie. Jim, and then Brian.
I just want to say thank you to the Science Center for Plan B 4.0 of books were on our desk, and they asked us to read them and pass them on. And it's all about global warming and all those kinds of things. So
thank you, Jim. And just to explain, now, the new legislators, there's another set, right?
Yes.
They're more... They were sort of labeled in December, and so the new legislators, you'll get your copies in the next couple of weeks. Okay. All right, thanks. And Brian.
Thank you. I just wanted to say real quick that I thank the voters in my district for having the confidence in me to get me here. I also want to thank Tyke for his service, and I wanted to let Tyke know that the microphone does work. And I look forward to working with everyone. I don't know intimately about any division within the legislature. I'm not particularly a partisan type person. We've got some very tough sledding ahead, and it's certainly my hope that everyone can work collaboratively together, and we'll get through it. And I thank everyone, and I look forward to the opportunity of serving.
Thank you. Anyone else? Do we miss anybody? Thank you all. I'll take a moment for a mini chair's report to let, first of all, a couple of thank yous to Jim Blizzard in the back. The public doesn't know, but Jim is the main reason why you're watching us tonight, and so happy, Jim, that you're healthier and back with us in the new year. So I also just wanted to thank the staff. This is absolutely a team effort. We are all here, and whatever works well, it works well because of the staff that's behind us, and as Leslie said, our families. So we all, some of them are here, some of them are watching at home, some of them are doing the chores instead of watching. So appreciate that for on behalf of all of us. I will not be appointing committees tonight. As I said, I have spoken with almost every one of you. I wanted to continue the conversation about specifically about committees, and but we will do. We do have three meetings coming up in the month of January that are already scheduled that can go ahead with the 2009 membership. That's Health and Human Services next Tuesday, the 12th at 3:30. Is that right, Frank? Right time. PDEC, Wednesday the 13th at 3:15, and Public Safety will meet the Thursday the 14th at 3:30. I'll talk to you. They will be. That's moved because of Martin Luther King Day. Those are the meetings. All right. This initially with F&I. Just a second. But the Karen's talking about F&I. Jimmy, you raised your hand about budget. Normally, right. This Monday would be a budget meeting.
Right. And at this time, I don't know if we have anything on the agenda or not.
So at this point, we don't. It's less than a week ahead. We don't have an agenda put together and out. So there won't be a budget meeting Tuesday.
Well,
this Monday.
No, I don't want to say that.
Okay.
Because generally we have to have it in by Friday.
That's right. Okay.
So the agenda can be printed.
So should we stay tuned? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. So that's.
And I haven't had a conversation with Norma today, so I don't know. Or anyone else.
All right. Tentatively 3:30, right?
3:30 to 5:30 Monday. Monday coming up.
Okay. Dooley, is there a rules committee set? Do you have that? In the next week.
We need to have one more meeting, and I hope Frank and I can agree on a time. I can't tell you right now. I'm sorry.
Okay. And Nathan for GPWR.
No, we won't have a meeting, but we do have our legislative hours kind of resolution to deal with, so we might have to think about having a meeting before a legislature meeting.
Before the 19th legislature meeting.
Yeah, is that? I mean, that's. Well, I'm not quite sure yet, but I will let you know and let the clerk of the legislature know as well.
Pam.
Our census committee will be meeting again on the 15th, and we will have a person from the Census Bureau will be there to talk to us. That meeting is at 3 o'clock in the old jail conference room.
Okay, and regarding F&I, the next regular meeting of F&I would be the 21st. And since I hope to appoint committees, the next committees on the 19th, Kathy, who's the person who knows everything here, has said that
In fact, we can't. The next F&I, if it's after the 19th, has to be the new committee. So I haven't had a chance to talk to Leslie about it. So I think we did have a brief communication that, but it's unresolved at this point. At any rate, I think that will probably not happen until after. It'll certainly not happen until after the 19th. Perhaps we'll be able to have it go ahead on the 21st. So there's, we know three meetings in the next week. I would say to the new members, feel free to go to any of them, whether they're the committees that you're interested in joining in the coming year or the committees that your predecessor was part of. In fact, as a general matter, all legislators are invited to go to any committee meeting that that is scheduled for this board. It's actually a very helpful way to, if you have the time, to stay on top of some issues, and you can ask Kathy and get the agenda sent, get the full packet and the agenda sent to you so that you know what's coming up. It's a very helpful way to learn what's going on, even if you're not taking the time to be a full committee member on a particular committee. So is that clear as mud? Is that... Okay. All right. Any questions? We will be in touch about meetings as they do get solidified. I'd also like to ask for volunteers by Friday. Let me know if you're interested in being on the group that is with some department heads and Joe planning the retreat that we've talked about in February. This is to follow up the retreat that we had in December. And we sort of laid the groundwork knowing that we would be having an extended period of time to basically begin talking about the budget. So let me know by Friday. Four or five legislators we can have on that committee. Jim?
I just wanted to once again put in a plug for us. If we are going to have this on a regular interval during the year, that we set out a schedule for the whole year, mm-hmm. so that we can put it in our calendars, because I think we probably would get better attendance if we can mm-hmm. plan ahead.
I think that's an excellent idea. I mean, Joe, let's maybe have that committee try to come up with that schedule.
Right.
So. And we understand everybody can't get to everything, but we really will try.
A simple question. Are you going to personally keep your own email address, or will you be changing it to a Tompkins County address?
Tomorrow at 10:40, we have a meeting to talk about county emails.
Okay.
And I'll find out then, I guess.
All right. So. Well, let me just say from my point of view, in terms of the budget committee, which I'm still the chair of, I think, until someone takes it over, I will let people know what we're doing, and Norma will, or it will come out of the clerk's office about what's coming on Monday, if there is or isn't going to be a meeting. So.
Okay, great. Thank you, Jim. Okay, so that's the retreat planning group. We also have a number of chairs appointments, and Kathy is going to send out a list tomorrow. So have a look at those. Some of those are continuing positions that cross the calendar year, but we're going to look at all of them. So let me know. I'll give you till Monday on those. Let me know if you're interested in any of those appointments after you see the list from Kathy. Another thing to look ahead to is the NYSAC conference. So this is, you've already heard this acronym, New York State Association of Counties. They have a fairly extensive calendar program every February. You should have all gotten this brochure, February 8th to 10th. They also have a program in September, generally. So it is something that all legislators are invited to participate in. Please let Karen know by Friday if you're interested in. And she'd like, in order to plan this, she really wants to know how many days are you interested in going, and some other details. So we do have a restricted budget. We will have to figure out exactly, we try to pay for the expenses for people to go, but my own feeling is that I'd like to, if we have a lot of people who are interested in going, I'd rather have partial reimbursement for as many people who are interested as possible, as opposed to saying, well, we'll just pay the full amount for two or three people. So that's
That's my own sort of thinking about that, but certainly we'll look at the expenses, see who's interested in going, and try to make the best accommodation that we can so everybody who wants to participate could. So any questions about that? All right, and just very briefly about the press conference yesterday in New York City. Actually, the two state senators weren't able to come. They had another meeting in Saratoga, we were told. But I wanted to mention, so it was about gas drilling, put on by the Sierra Club Atlantic chapter. And there was quite a gaggle of press there. I don't know quite how much press actually showed up. But it was really quite impressive to have the show of support for protecting our water supplies statewide, not just the New York City watershed, to have and a very strong statement that this is a statewide issue, in fact, a national issue. And the sense that the New York Times editorial recently this past week expressed that let's take care of the New York City watershed, no drilling in the New York City watershed, but it'd be safe enough for upstate. That was not expressed by anybody else at the rally. So I was very, at the press conference, I was very pleased that that sentiment was very strong, and very pleased to be a part of that. So, any questions? Okay, thank you. Then we'll go to Joe's report.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Let me add to others in congratulating you and Dewey on your appointments, and welcome to the new members. The new members will find that among my many jobs is to be the buzz killer for good meetings like this, where I bring information to you that,
say that
takes whatever joy is in the air and snuffs it right out. I do have several items I'd like to report on tonight. I think most are in the way of updates, beginning with the retreat that Martha talked about. We do want to have a retreat, hopefully in the latter part of February, to talk about budget issues. And I know we all are suffering from some budget fatigue. Certainly I am. We've been talking about budgets for a year, all caused by a very bad economy. And I think we're to the point now where not only are we beginning to understand with clarity what some of the problems are going to be, but also how long those problems may be with us. So we are to the point of, I think, being able to articulate a problem statement. But also, and I think this is what separates this community from a lot of other communities, I think we have the willingness and the ability to figure out solutions to those problems, and that's where our attention is going to need to go now. And that will be really the focus of the retreat that we are, again, trying to pull together for February. In advance of that retreat, again, to understand the factors that we're working with, we know we have a state budget that is in deep trouble right now. We know that their deficit, which they're trying to cure, of $3 billion this year, and you know the problems they dealt with trying to get a $3 billion deficit closed. That deficit is expected to grow to $19 billion over the next few years, so we can only imagine how difficult that's going to be and how that may spill out onto us. We know that our pension costs are growing very rapidly. Those two items alone, I think, give us a good sense of direction for where our own finances may be over the next few years. So again, we need to make the turn from understanding what those problems are to what the solutions are. To that end, what my office has been working on over the last several weeks, in fact months, are two things. One is a three-year financial projection, and we're trying to get that in good working order right now that will allow us to make certain assumptions about certain elements of our budget, key drivers of our budget, and have those numbers tell us where that takes our own budget. And we will have a model that's out that people can actually use. You can apply whatever assumptions you'd like to come up with your own conclusions about potential budget, our bottom line condition. Second, and as important, I think, as the projection, we will be developing a white paper that lays out some general strategic issues and approaches that are available to the county. I'd like to get a white paper out in draft working form to this body and to department heads so that we can all contribute to a quality document and a strategic thinking piece that will be the centerpiece of what we talk about in February. In that document, we'll talk about revenue options that are available to us, because we'll have to look at the future in a balanced way, but also expenditure actions and approaches that we will need to consider over the next few years that range from belt tightening to alternative ways of delivering service. to something Leslin said earlier, which is the need to prioritize and begin to look at getting resources to our most important core programs. And to do that, we need to prioritize. And if so, if we're going to prioritize, how do we do that? And we will offer some suggestions there. But again, as a part of this white paper and this collective thinking about how to approach our problems, we will open that up to ideas about how we can get a decision model that will help us prioritize and make some very difficult decisions over the next few years. So in the near future, I hope to get that working draft to you and the department heads. We'll work on it through the committee structure, I think, through the Budget and Capital Committee. And the G-Power Committee might be two good forms to work through a working draft. And again, by the latter part of February, something solid to work with to really develop some strategies to deal with the problems that we see coming ahead. So it's just kind of a heads up to expect some documents coming your way. And to sincerely tell you, we're looking for good input. This is not a finished document. It's a work in progress. Second, also related to our budget for 2010, in the 2010 budget for new legislators, you should know that we put some money in there. I think it was $50,000 to initiate what's called lean office training. Lean office training has been done at TC3 over the past year with great success. It is an approach that tries to take waste and inefficiency out of processes, work processes. And we'd like to take a look at that, see if it might be applicable here. To that end, I've communicated with TC3.biz, who would likely be the go-to source for this kind of a service. They work with outside consultants on this, and I'd like to have them kind of introduce the concept and brief us on how it works sometime within the next few weeks. So we will be reaching out to department heads and legislators and inviting you to that presentation. It will help us all come up to speed on lean office training and whether we believe it has applicability here. Other budget follow-ups. In the 2010 budget, again, for new legislators, there is a proposal in there to increase our mortgage recording tax, which is currently 0.75% that we don't get any of. We levy that on behalf of others. So the proposal was to raise it to 1%, with the additional 0.25% of the tax rate generating revenue, about $1 million, for the county. To get that in place, we need the state to authorize that increase in the mortgage tax rate. It's called a home rule action. Historically, the state legislature has waited until the very end of their process before they even consider these things. And I suspect their process this year will be a very long process. We've suggested in NYSAC that they essentially lobby the state to move those home rule requests to the front of the line instead of the back of the line. Given the hardships that all of us are dealing with right now, the state budget cuts and delays and so forth, it sure would make a lot of sense to have the state, without costing the state a penny, allow localities to do what they feel is appropriate with respect to revenues. So we've asked NYSAC to take up that charge, and we'll be asking our own delegation to join with us in that initiative. Finally, the state budget. There are some actions that you all know have been taken in Albany to try to bring their budget into balance. Some of it basically is borrowing money from counties, cities, towns, and school districts. The state has said we're not borrowing money to get through this crisis, but in fact they are. They're borrowing from us by delaying payments. We will have, I believe, by the next budget committee, a very detailed assessment of what the delays and cuts mean to our own budget. I will tell you it affects several of our departments. It also affects several agencies that we have direct dealings with, including TC3 and TCAT, both of which have received some pretty significant cuts to the state budget. So our intent is to report our findings to the budget committee at its next meeting and begin a conversation about how to address some of the impacts of those state budget actions that have been put in place to help the state reduce its deficit. So that's my very long report.
But you left something out. We were talked earlier about orientation.
I do have some notes on new member orientation. We've initiated some individual briefings. I've talked to two of the new legislators, and I have appointments to meet with the balance. So I'll be giving them the briefing from my perch. We will also be inviting new members to join us at the department head meeting on the 13th at the beginning of the meeting to be introduced to department heads that way. And then we'll be discussing with new legislators best ways for them to connect with departments within county government on a one-to-one basis. The most likely approach at this point seems to be to begin with those departments that are under the review of the committees that those new members are assigned to, begin there. Open up those meetings to any other members if they'd like to join those meetings. But there's a little more discussion that we need to have with the new members about that level of briefing.
Thank you, Joe. I just add to that that it's been my experience that any staff member is more than happy to talk to you at any time if you just reach out and want to set up an individual meeting or have a phone conversation. I would also say that knowing the continuing legislators, as I do, I think all of us would be more than happy to sit down with a cup of coffee and or just have any kind of session that you'd like to talk things over. As you've already heard, there's homework involved in this assignment. There's more than more meetings than you'll kind of think that you think right now could be possible. But you'll get as much out of this service as you put into it, is my experience. So I hope you take advantage of the opportunities that there are, and really anybody would be more than happy to answer questions and to just talk at any time. So welcome to you all. Thank you, Joe. Any questions for Joe? Okay, David. Oh, I'm sorry, Jonathan.
My report is short. Just wanted everyone to know that Robin Corr here filed an appeal in court of her unsuccessful human rights challenge against the county, and so you may be hearing about that.
Okay. David?
Well, I wanted to report about the roller coaster we're being with the New York State. Last meeting, we talked about several bleak outlooks at the state level. There have been some positives and some negatives. We dodged several bullets in the past month, and I tell you that it was minute to minute during the month of December about our liquidity position and whether the county is going to have to pull the trigger to go borrow, take advantage of its borrowing authorizations. We were concerned about state aid for for TC3, and we were pleasantly surprised that the state did come through at the last minute, and TC3 has got the money they needed to continue operations for the short term. But there is a dramatic decline in our liquidity at year end. Our cash position in the general fund declined about 30%. And it's logical why it declined from a balance of $11.4 million at the end of 2008 to $8.4 million is because sales tax was down $2 million. State aid has been withheld and delayed. There have been some dribbles coming in. The health department, we got one quarter in of health department just at year end. TCAT was dramatically low on funds, and today I released their 2010 county allocation of $800,000 to them so they could cover their payroll this week. And coincidentally, the fourth quarter store payment came in today, comes in tomorrow, which and wasn't reduced. So we sort of dodge a bullet there because we normally pay TCAT their annual operation at the beginning of the year. But because of concerns about our cash position, we paid them that. We didn't pay them the sales tax that we normally pay them because until we start receiving sales tax for 2010. And I'm here to advise that we're going to be managing this on a weekly basis on how much we disperse. Our partners, these agencies, you know, can expect that we will pay them as we can, but they should expect delays because we're trying to manage this, the input with the outgo. in the first 60 days of the year, we're in a negative cash flow position because the only reliable source of income we have is pretty much sales tax, and sales tax comes in twice a month. We can't rely on New York State paying us timely. And New York State and the federal government are about two-thirds of the county's cash flow. So we're operating on the one-third, which is the county property tax, which doesn't come to us until late February at best. So this is the time where we really have to be very careful about how we disperse funds. And I think that we ended the budgetarily the year pretty well. There was really no surprises that we weren't aware of. But the real difficulty is that with the state really releasing things in such an unpredictable fashion that it's really making our planning very difficult at this point. And so we wanted to give you a cheery beginning of the year. Welcome aboard.
Mike, and then Carol, and then Frank.
Dave, with TC3, if we're forced to give them a cash infusion, are we prepared to make sure Coral County is doing it simultaneously so that we don't have to bear all the burden and then get reimbursed?
Well, that was a concern of mine at late last year because we were we had certainly had been disadvantaged by the situation because TC3 relies on us for certain obligations, and Cortland pays their annual contribution, but we pay things like retirement and health insurance that come through the county, not through Cortland. So at any one time, the county actually has spending much more in advance than Cortland County. But I think that things are smoothing out there because they got their money as promised by the state.
Was that a yes?
That's yes.
Okay. Carol?
Okay. Yeah, I have two questions, Dave. One of the figures that I really like to cite when I talk to people about our budget and the health, sort of the financial health of our county, is the one about having achieved the debt rate when we issued that $20 million of debt at 0.34%. And it's a figure that I would like our new and returning members to not miss because I think it's important. So I wanted you to explain that and also to understand what happens to that $20 million. Does that count in our cash flow?
That's not part of it. No, that's total. That's capital funds.
And so I don't know if other people want more of an explanation of what I'm talking about.
Well, we borrow for capital projects depending on market conditions, whether we go long-term or short-term. And so we've been borrowing one-year notes. And so we had, for example, a health department building. We've financed it with bond anticipation notes. So we had to roll those notes over, and we were very successful in achieving this unprecedented rate. And I can only hope that 1 year from now when we lower those, when we have to pay off this $20 million with going to permanent financing, that our bond rating is still maintained at its high level. It's all relative. I mean, every government in the state's going through the same thing. Their liquidity is being squeezed terribly. And so I think that our financial position will be maintained, but it will also be viewed as significantly weakened as a result of the biggest partner we have, New York State's limited ability to assist us.
My second question. Oh, system on.
Quickly.
My second question has to do with the logging of our time. I dutifully started doing that on January 1st. Can we not submit the time until we've passed the resolution?
You can start before. The resolution, really, that the state is asking for is after logs have been received, because it basically informs the public that this information is available, and it's individual. Every legislator's time is available for has been recorded. So it's just a question of when, as a group, do you want the period to be January or February? And as far as I know, you haven't made that determination. But you can log for more than, 3 months if you want.
Will, yours is about this.
Yeah, David, I think what I heard Carol asking was not quite that, which was we need to formally set the standard work day, which has been, I guess, proposed as 6 hours, but we haven't as a body done that. Do we need to do that before we're logging?
Unless you want to change it.
Okay.
Because it
carries over.
It will carry over. I mean, if you want to change it to more or less, the legislature, every year, whenever you do a position, it's consistent with the way you work on every new job. The legislature adopts a position with the number of hours, and that ties into documentation for the retirement system that, there's a number of hours of credit supposed to be earned for that title. And so unless you want to change that, and I haven't heard any information about that, but the resolution is designed to be after the logging is done,
Are there any other questions about this? Because I think there may be a lot of still some uncertainty about this logging of time.
Yep.
Was there? Okay, Frank.
David, my understanding was that once GO dealt with this, we were going to have a session where you were going to present what it was we needed to log so that whenever we're recording something, it's standard. That you wanted it in a certain way. Are we keeping it on a calendar sheet type of thing like we have done in the past? Or is there some different method that's going to come out of the committee that was dealing with it? We have yet to have a session. Some of us have attended. I think Dooley and I attended some of the webinars that have been presented last year. But as far as a legislature getting a presentation, to the best of my knowledge, we haven't had that yet. And I've done the same thing Carol has done. I've started to just jot things down the way we've done it in the past, but I'd like some guidance on standardization of what it is going to qualify us.
Yes, we received a disc, a CD with all the information on it.
I think what's missing is we all need to hear together what that is, what as Frank says, what qualifies, what isn't appropriate to include, how you want the records kept. Kathy?
I think our intent is to, at the next legislature meeting, we'll be handing out a calendar for you to review and probably begin filling out in February once the committees are assigned and they start meeting on a regular basis.
Okay.
That's what I remember. Okay. Nathan?
We're still on this point?
Yeah.
Because I have another question that isn't on this point.
I'll come back to you. Yeah. Okay. Nathan, were you something else about this?
Would it be a good idea to have like a special presentation?
Yeah. Will that be ready?
Microphones?
Yes. Would it be okay? Would you like me to use my microphone? Yes. All right. I was wondering if we could do a special presentation at the next legislature meeting to discuss, to have a PowerPoint or whatever, to talk about what we can count and how we should fill out our calendars, etc.
So you'll be ready with that? I mean, I think that would be really helpful.
Yes, I think so. I think we can share some information.
Okay. Okay, great. Thank you, Carol, about this.
This is on this, yeah. Is it appropriate to use up legislature time on this, or should we be doing a session maybe just before the legislature meeting?
No, this is part of part of our responsibility to, yeah. Okay, I would just note that Tyke Randall quietly walked out when you're talking about the financial issues, and I think he realized he'd heard enough between the two of you. So just wanted to mention that. Frank, back to Frank and then Peter.
David, I want to go back to one of the comments you made about the monies we have received from the state. If we're off the topic of...
I think we're covered on the topic, yeah.
Okay. I thought I heard you say that one quarter was received for help for the health department.
We received the first quarter, yes.
That means that is the first quarter of 2009.
Yes.
That we received. So
about
we're
a little over $300,000.
For the new legislators, New York State withheld all of 2009 on the reimbursements to the health department, $1.1 million. And we just received approximately $300,000. In order for us to cover, because there's other departments that this happens with periodically, in order for us to cover making those payments, that's when you may have to go out and borrow money and pay interest on it, even at the reduced rate that Carol mentioned. Correct?
Correct.
Any inkling as to when they may decide to send the rest? Just thought I'd ask, Dave.
I hear no comment. Okay. Peter.
A couple of comments. First, a trivial point. I'm not keeping any calendar. I have not understood what the obligations were, so I hope I'm not confusing the issue by not doing that. But when you hand out calendars, I, for one, would really prefer an online or a computer calendar. I dread having to keep a copy of a calendar in my pocket because I'm notorious at losing things. So that may just be me, but
is
I would certainly prefer that.
In order to log the time. I mean, that's
right.
Yeah, is there a way to do it?
Well, I also say this is only people who are members of the New York State Retirement System. So if you are not going to be a member of the New York State Retirement System, not interested in any credit, then you don't have to do this at all.
Well, I am, so could I have an online?
Okay, we'll make sure everybody gets everything they need to do this right.
And my second question, I don't know if this is appropriate at this time, but I had a question referring to what was said previously about in the financial report. Yes or no?
Yeah, go ahead.
Do I understand right that what you were saying was effectively that we are now operating with a cash balance of nearly zero? When you talked about the bullet dodging problem, and do you, if that's true, is that a permanent situation, or do you see that as something temporary, which is going to change?
Well, in terms of our cash flow, it goes dramatically downhill from September through February. The property taxes aren't levied till January 1st. So our cash balances peak in April. So we look at what is our position at the year end. I need a minimum of $8 million in the bank in order to cover known expenses for payroll and all our bills for the month of January. And you know, we get money in, but we don't have $8 million. So we better start be prepared to borrow money.
So
we weren't down to zero. It's just that if we were gone below $8 million at the end of the year, I would be in rushing to arrange for some financing for cash flow purposes.
Okay, so you have sort of 4 months advance notice that a bombshell is coming in 4 months from now when you don't have money to pay ongoing expenses. But is that apt to change, or will that be a way of life?
Well, we have part of the problem is attributable to the decline in our income from sales tax during 2009. Part of the issue is learning to live with a smaller budget because the state is going to be reducing its support, and we have to live, you know, and the state's squeezing their reimbursement. So it's going to be a multi-year issue.
It's Kathy and then Carol.
Once I have to leave now.
Yes, thank you for the notice. Thank you for the notice. Carol.
Will you please explain, as part of this discussion, the use of our, or the standing of our reserve account? The whole discussion that we had during budget season about how much, whether to keep the $5 million minimum reserve or six or more in reserves, where does that stand or sit? As the case may be.
Well, the issue of our fund balance is yet to be determined. We expect a decline in the fund balance. I do not expect it to be as significant as the decline in our cash balance. The important thing is a fund balance doesn't do you any good unless you have cash to back it up. And so at the end of year end, it's all relative. We need a large balance to meet. We won't know the fund balance until probably, it won't be audited till April, and we won't have our annual closeout till about mid-March.
Okay, thanks. I think it's been an important discussion, and there will be, and I think with new people to integrate, it's important to get questions out when they arise. So thanks very much for your time, David, and have a nice dance with Pam. Thank you. Art, are there any resolutions to be added or subtracted from the agenda? Duly.
I wanted to say something before you got to that.
Okay.
I'm late to the discussion of logging hours. It's my recollection from the webinar that it is recommended that we act on defining what our standard work week is, even though we could say we want to continue it from our years ago resolution. I think it's prudent for us to do that as a new legislature. And prior to being joined by the new legislators, David had prepared, I think it was a two-page handout, one with a sample monthly calendar and sample kinds of entries, and the other page summarizing the kinds of things that can be counted as hours. And instead of having everybody wait until we have a joint presentation, I think the newer members would benefit by seeing that now. So I wanted to ask if those could be distributed.
Could that be distributed to all of us? So
yes, please.
Be great. Okay. Thanks, Lily. Thanks for reminding us. Okay. No resolutions to be added or withdrawn? All right. Thank you. We will go to the consent agenda, which is simply a couple of appointments to the Environmental Management Council, Lucia Tyler and Stanley Marcus, and to the Board of Health as on an interim basis, Frank Proto as the county legislator. So that is the consent agenda. I need a motion. We'd like to move that. Carol moves. Will seconds the consent agenda. All in favor?
Aye.
Signify by saying aye. Opposed? Okay, that's unanimous. Thank you very much. So we'll go to the committee reports. First one on the list is public safety. I will just let you know that, as we discussed earlier, that the public safety committee will meet next Thursday at 3:30, and off the top of my head, I think the things that are on the agenda are a report on the public access to a public defibrillator program, gas drilling and related to emergency responders, and we had talked about the ATI evaluation. Dina Bodner said that due to delay in getting the numbers, she still isn't ready to do that report, but that'll be ready in February. She's had a lot of grant deadlines to work on, so that'll be ready for the next committee. So, any questions on that? WDIC. Leslin?
WDIC will meet on January 27th, the last Wednesday in January, 3:30. Earlier this month, we had a meeting with a number of other organizations. This is something that was sort of started by the school district. The school district has been doing trainings on doing racism with the Institute for I just blanked on the name. Anyhow, on doing racism, and for years at least a couple of years now, the school district has been footing the entire bill, which is somewhere above $40,000, and it's opened up their training to others. So one of the things that the superintendent was hoping can happen is that a number of organizations, county, city, perhaps university, the school district, can get together and jointly do this, and all of us participate and help support the cost for making it happen. So it's a People's Institute for Undoing Racism with David Billings. It is a very excellent, excellent dialogue session that happens over a number of days, three separate days. And so we have entered into some conversation as WDIC with the school district and others about if that's something we will be able to support, and how will our county employees benefit from it, you know, that sort of stuff, numbers, and so more information to come. Well, we will meet again as a committee on the 27th of January.
Thank you, Leslie. Any questions? Next committee, Rules and Procedures Committee, Dooley.
We had a meeting scheduled for December 21st, but it did not take place because members, there weren't enough members in attendance. There was just one. And so Frank and I are going to meet after this meeting tonight and figure out when our next meeting will be. The reason our meetings had been on Mondays were for Mike Hattery's convenience, and so we have the possibility of choosing another day. And I'm sorry, I don't have it to tell you yet.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. Any questions? Health and Human Services, Frank.
Thanks, Madam Chairman. Congratulations.
Thank you.
The Health Committee will be meeting, first meeting of the year is next Tuesday at 3:30. We meet in the old jail conference room. I want to encourage all of the new, certainly the returning legislators, but all of the new legislators to consider joining the Health Committee. It's a lively group. We have interesting discussions. We have the largest number of advisory board assignments, so get your calendars out. And at the end of the year, the chairman has been known to distribute gifts. So I would encourage you all to consider coming to that meeting and being a lobbying with the new chairwoman and seeing if you might consider joining. It's not funny, Pam. That wasn't funny. One serious announcement, though. The health department has scheduled more H1N1 flu clinics because of the upgrading and the distribution of more vaccine. Probably Marcia will have more of a news release than this. But there were four scheduled for January. One did take place today. There's another on January 7th at 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Another at also January 7th from 2 to 4. And one on Friday, January 8th from 3 to 6. I believe there are additional ones. But you have to go on the health department's, the county's website and go to the link with the health department. You can actually check it more accurately there. But I would encourage everybody they've upgraded the individuals that should get the shots, and it's folks that are now over 65 that they're encouraging people to get the shots for. So I think the only person in this room that may not be eligible is Nathan. So but he got it the first time around. So, you know, let your conscience be your guide. I'll stop there.
Where are the clinics, Frank? And if there's a phone number?
The first one on January 7th is at Lifelong. The afternoon one on January 7th is the health department itself. And the one on Friday the 8th is up at Pyramid, now known as the Shops at Ithaca Mall. What was your other question, Martha?
And is there a phone number?
Yes. 274-6609 to schedule an appointment. 274-6609. The early one on Thursday, you do not need an appointment. It's a walk-in. The only ones of the three that are left, the one on Thursday afternoon, you do need an appointment, so you should call that number. And the one on Friday is open to the public as a walk-in. You do not need an appointment. So if you're interested in going from 2 to 4 on Thursday, you should call 274-6609.
That's for Jim's friend who's out there watching, right? Thank you very much. Okay, thank you.
You're eligible now, Jim.
Facilities and Infrastructure Committee, last one.
Beth and I met briefly this afternoon before the legislature meeting, and we just dealt with a couple of final payments for airport projects. We will meet again on the 21st of January at 3:30 in the afternoon.
Thank you. Any questions? Government Performance and Workforce Relations. Nathan.
Thank you. I have two resolutions. The first I'd like to move is establishing 2010 meeting dates, and I so move.
Is there a second? Jim. All right, is there any discussion? Dooley.
I just couldn't let the time go by without saying that my recollection is that the workload for legislative meetings in the summer months, July and August, is not really heavy. It's much more similar to what we have tonight. And we could easily, at this meeting, decide to cancel one of those meetings. And the one I would recommend canceling is the first one in August, not because I want to take a vacation then, but because if we're going to wind up canceling one, it's better to do it early so people can make other use of the time. So I would move changing this resolution to strike the August 3rd meeting.
So that's a motion to amend. Second, if I will. Okay. Any discussion, Frank?
And as we do each year, I urge us not to change the resolution. It's easier to cancel a meeting than it is to add one because it's often tough to get all 15 of us to agree on another date. And if you do have to go someplace or take it. Well, Dooley was kind enough to say it's not because she's going on vacation, but if the workload is such that we don't need a meeting, we certainly can cancel one. I would urge us, with all due respect to Will and Dooley, not to change the resolution.
Jim?
Please don't change the meeting. Remember, we just went through a 20-minute discussion about keeping track of all the meetings that we go to and the timing, so you need all the meetings you can get.
Mike.
Another reason not to change it is because it would put an extra burden on staff to have to change the cycle and get things ready for one meeting in August, which they might not always have to do. I think they just need to have the regularity of the two meetings a month.
Anyone else want to weigh in?
Yeah. Well, actually, to me, if it makes sense to cancel the meeting now as opposed to keeping the option of canceling in August in terms of staff, I don't see why we couldn't cancel the early meeting in August. So I will support that change.
Ready to vote? Carol?
Yeah, I feel like we have enough to do and enough that we never get to, including our discussions of having a schedule whereby our 27 department heads get to come and talk to us as a body about what they do and not only to the individual committees. If we are going to decide that we have only 23 legislative meetings a year's worth of business, I would want to see us cancel a meeting in February or March and not make us and our staff drive through the snow and ice in order to get here and home late at night. So August wouldn't be the one that I would do this with. My two cents.
Peter and then Jim.
Just a question so that I can vote intelligently on this pressing issue. Is traditionally that meeting canceled?
No.
No.
No. No. Okay. Thank you.
Jim?
I want to call the question.
All right, the question's been called. All in favor of calling the question means ending debate, upon which there is no debate. All in favor of calling the question. Raise your hand, please. Opposed? That's unanimous. Then we will vote on the amendment to the motion, which would cancel the Tuesday, August 3rd meeting of the legislature. All in favor of doing that, of the amendment? Raise your hand, please. One, two, three. Opposed? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, 11. Okay, that fails 3 to 11. Thank you, Dooley. We have the main motion. Is there any discussion? All ready to vote. All in favor of the main motion? Raise your hand, please. Opposed? That's unanimous. Thank you very much. And Nathan, you have another one.
All right. Thank you. I know Dooley ran, you know, the way that she was convincing people to vote for her vice chair was saying, less meetings, but it really wasn't that reason. Yeah. It's like no homework, you know. All right. Easy, Nathan. I have resolution B. And after I move it, I'd like a moment to describe what this resolution is. Endorsement of H.R. 2894 and S. 1431 to amend the Help America Vote Act of 2002 to require a voter-verified permanent paper ballot, and I so move.
Okay, Will seconds. Discussion. Let's go first to Nathan.
Yep. And I know that that many people have hesitation about doing resolutions when we're endorsing federal legislation. However, this particular piece of legislation is very relevant to the county because it has to do with our Board of Elections and our voting machines. And as you know, the Tompkins County Legislature back in 2005 was the first county government in New York State to push for paper ballots and for optical scan voting machines. And that is something that was incredibly successful and resulted in a change throughout New York State. So now there's federal legislation to amend this act so that we actually have this at a federal level. And not only does it amend it, but it also calls for recounts, hand recounts in close federal elections to ensure that the electronic votes are accurate. It also provides for over $1 billion in funding for those governments that aren't using voter-verified paper ballots and gives those money to governments so that they can have that support, so they can have the right optical scan voting machines. So I hope that everybody can support this. This is something that's very relevant to the county, and hopefully the rest of the United States can have voting machines like we do here in Tompkins County, where it's a voter verified paper ballot, and we know where our votes are going. Thank you.
Okay. Anyone else? Frank.
Nathan, let me understand this. Our county's already in compliance.
Yes, we are.
If I check the numbers correctly, the feds at the federal level, we're already in the hole a couple of billion bucks. A couple of trillion bucks. You're proposing we add another $1 billion to that?
I think that having transparent elections where we can count on our votes is worth $1 billion.
I'm not arguing the transparency.
Yeah.
But New York State's already in compliance.
Yes. Oh yes. New
York and we're not going to see any of this money.
No, we will not.
Yeah. Why don't the states that are short, why don't they finance it themselves?
Well, that's something that they could do. However, I'm sure a lot of them have already gone down the path of DREs and spent money on those, and now they have elections that may be suspect.
Well, on the financial news this morning, and I can give any one of you a wake-up call if you want to listen in. I mean, it's early. But there was somebody who was very optimistic about the GNP for this year and for next year, was predicting a GNP for the states at something between, are you ready, 5.5% to 7.5%. I know David and Joe would be overjoyed if the GNP hit that level, because I think the spigot would open as far as reimbursements. My prediction is we ain't going to see 5.5% to 7.5%. We'd be lucky if we hit 3. I can't imagine us endorsing something at this point. I admire your spirit, but I can't imagine us endorsing something that spends another or encourages the feds to spend another $1 billion, Nathan. I'm sorry, I couldn't support this.
Jim and then Will.
Was that in the United States?
Say again?
Was that in the United States, that 5 to 7% forecast?
Yeah.
I didn't hear it either. Will? Yeah.
Well, I was happy to second this, and I thank Nathan for bringing this to our attention. We have a situation, I think, where our very democratic process has been unfortunately perverted by the undue influence of money, and this is a very reasonable investment in terms of ensuring that our elections are open and transparent, and we have a mechanism to ensure that through periodic counting of the paper ballots. And I strongly encourage us to show the support. It benefits us all, regardless of what state it's happening. So I hope we'll do this.
Are we ready to vote? All in favor, please raise your hand. 10? 11. Opposed? Yeah, I didn't do that right, did I? All right, please try this again. If you're in favor, please raise your hand. What? It's 10 to
3.
Kathy's gone. 10 to 3. Okay. Thank you. 10 to 3.
11
to 3.
You want to?
unless you counted wrong and you really are opposed to.
Well, no, it's not.
It's okay, Martha.
Sounds like 11-3 is
bipartisanship.
Okay. All right. The motion carries 11-3.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Okay. Great.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Planning, development, and environmental quality. Pam.
Yes, our next meeting is on Wednesday, January 13th at 3:15.
Okay. You want to roll right into the Census Committee?
And I'll roll right into the Census Committee. The Census Committee met for the first time yesterday. As you all know, this is the year of the census. It will be, people should be getting it about the end of March, 1st of April, in the mail. Our committee is charged with helping to educate the public about this census and working with groups in the community to get the information out there. We spent some time at our meeting talking about groups that have historically been excluded from the census. We also talked about people who end up being excluded from the census for different barriers. For example, illiteracy, language, things like that. We identified ways that we can get the information about the census out to people. One of the biggest problems that we have is that people, for some people, they are distrustful of the federal government, and they need to be reassured about the fact that this information is not going to be used against them. One of our unique problems here in Tompkins County is, of course, the large number of students we have, because the census counts you the point at which where you're living at the time the census forms come out. So for students, they are here in Tompkins County. They should be filling out the census forms here. And so that is a challenge, because what happens is the mail-in part that gets mailed to the houses on the 1st of April, they don't start going out and knocking on doors to the places where they didn't get any response until June. Well, by June, most of the students who go to college here have gone home. So there's a possibility that we will miss them. So we have a particular challenge in this county with that group. beyond the other important groups, I think I didn't mention people, homeless people, migrant workers, people who are in transit. So anyway, so that was our first meeting. Our second meeting is the 15th of January. We have somebody who's coming to talk to us from the Census Bureau to answer some of our questions and hopefully provide us with some information. Evidently, the last time they provided posters and brochures and things like that. But that's just the beginning of what we are hoping to do out there in the community. This is important for all of us. This is important for people who live in the city, but people who also live in the country. And farmers, we all are affected by this because if we get an inaccurate count in our county and we don't count everybody, there's a distinct possibility that we will have reduced representation and reduced financial support from all the programs, because many programs are based on your population. So this is something that we all need to put our shoulder to the wheel and work together to make sure we get the most accurate count that we possibly can.
Thank you, Pam. I really second that. Last 10 years ago, we came in at 96,000 and change, and we knew, I mean, there was a strong effort because we knew that 100,000 is a bit of a trigger where you go over 100,000 and various additional kinds of revenues become available. So in fact, probably because of the students and other issues, we have been at 100,000, but we just need to really make sure that those people are counted. Will, did I see your hand? Somebody else? Leslie.
Thanks, Pam, and for mentioning earlier some of the things you talked about concerns at WDIC. We're keenly aware of diversity issues regarding the census, and so at some point I'm hoping that the committee or some members, Kathy as a member of yes. the committee, will probably be bringing back information, and we're hoping that we can perhaps have some joint Great. Conversation Wonderful. Around what are some of those concerns and how we can best approach and address them with the Census Bureau.
Great.
Thank you, Leslie. And the committee stands with Pam, Carol, Frank, and Kathy. And Mike has agreed to take the slot that I was originally appointed to. And I'm pleased about that because he's had experience 10 years ago working on this committee. So I'm very happy that Mike has agreed to serve in that role. So anything else? Thanks very much. We will be asking for everybody to pitch in on this issue. Budget, Capital, and Finance. Jim.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, I will contact you, or someone will contact you about the potential of a January 11 meeting. And just let me say a couple of things about the budget. I know that people tire of hearing about money and talking about it, but the world we live in, it's about money from January 1st until December 31st, if you're in county government, if you're in city government, or any government. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this county and all the other 61 counties in New York State. So, I welcome the new members, and I think if you want to come to committee meetings, come to the budget committee meetings. They're
so much fun.
They go quickly.
Yeah,
they
do.
And it's always about money.
But they're very dull. Not like the health committee.
Any questions for Jim? All right. Thank you very much. Minutes of the previous meeting, December 15th. Frank Lewisham, is there a second? Carol, any comments? All in favor of the minutes?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. That's unanimous. Is there a motion to adjourn? You will. Will moves. Pam seconds. All in favor of adjourning? Aye. Thank you very much. Jim.
Martha, nice job. Thank you. You started out well, and you...
did a good job. Thank you very much for that.
Thank you, sir. That'll go in the minutes, right? Thank you, Jim. Thank you, everybody.